we last week we began to talk about seeds. Everybody say seeds. Seeds. Say it again. Say seeds. So we talked about the greatest person of faith. I showed some mighty people of God up on our screen of faith, and we showed the last one was the farmer. Everybody say farmers. And we said last week the farmers are probably the most powerful, most faith-filled people that we know of, right? The farmer. Everybody say farmers. Farmers. This is going to be talked back this morning. And so we talked about how the farmer plants the seed, right? And then we talked about in the Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a person sows, he will also reap, right? And so we talked about the power of the seed. The power of the seed last week. And we said this, that many Christians, not in this room. I'm not going to do it. Not in this room. None of us, right? Many Christians, we think and we want the no-fault Christianity, where I can do whatever I want and there's no fault to it. I can say whatever I want to say. I can do whatever I want to do. I can withhold whatever I want and not be a sower and feel like that I can be blessed, right? And whatever I do, somehow, in the great scheme of things, God will just pour out blessings randomly among people. That is not the Bible. That's not what Scripture teaches. Scripture teaches that if you sow unforgiveness, there'll be unforgiveness sowed back to you. If you sow forgiveness, you will be forgiven, right? If you sow kindness, you'll reap kindness. And then we said this. This is a law, as the law of gravity is a law, right? It just is a law. It works whether you're a Christian or whether you're not a Christian. Matter of fact, different people have different names for these things. Some people say it's karma. All that is biblical principles happening. You sow this, you're going to reap, right? So just because, if you're a hard worker and you sow hard work in your job, well, guess what? You sow integrity on your job, you're going to reap promotion. Like I say like this, you know, we talked about when beginning of the charismatic, we talked about beginning when I jumped into the charismatic movement, we talked a lot about favor, right? Favor. You got favor of God. Well, if you don't operate in the book of Proverbs, some practical wisdom and practical things, you're not going to reap favor. Amen. Favor doesn't just happen. Favor doesn't happen. Favor is of God when we walk in God's principles. Amen. So we talked about those seeds. And we asked this question, who determines your harvest? And many of us would have said, well, God determines our harvest. Not true. It's all about, I have about a pot. It's all about the seeds that you plant. But many of us, we don't plant our seeds. We just eat our seeds. Sunflower seeds. These wouldn't have grown anything because they're roasted and salted. But this is really awkward now. This is really a good idea in my head. But many of us, we eat our seed and we take our seed for ourselves and we don't plant it. Right? But God, in his wisdom, put that down the side, has given us seed in many forms. And when we can plant, I got some watermelon seeds that I'm not going to eat. And we take our seeds and we plant them. And I got dirt in here, so if you can see. And I plant my little seeds. And many of us, we planted seeds last week, or maybe this week, you decided to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer, and you planted some seeds last week. And so now your seeds are in the ground, right? You have planted your seeds, and you didn't eat your seeds. You planted those seeds, right? So let's look about this scripture again in Genesis chapter 8. We've planted our seeds. And it says this, Genesis chapter 8, this is in review. It says that as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night will not cease. As long as the earth remains or endures, long after you're gone, this truth will be still going on, right? Seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter. So the harvest, so here's the thing, seed time and harvest. So the good thing is, I just planted a seed, right? So now I get a harvest. Wait a minute, I didn't get no harvest. Still got a seed. So something's wrong. Something's wrong with my thinking that I planted my seed and now God's probably wrong. It's God's fault. I didn't plant. I planted and I didn't harvest. God doesn't answer prayer. God's not faithful. Because that's all I got. All I got, God, is seed. So this is, I got this from, to be honest, I got this portion from a preacher that I was listening to. And he said this. He was talking about the seed time and harvest thing. And he was reading that scripture. And he said, God said, read that slowly. He goes, seed time and harvest. He said, slower. Seed time harvest. He said, slower. Seed time harvest. Seed time harvest. Everybody say time. You know what makes the farmer the greatest person of faith? Because he puts the seed in the ground, covers it up, and walks away. And waits. And believes that what he doesn't see is happening. Something that he can't see is happening. The farmer doesn't check the seed every other day to see if there's some sprout going on. He does other things that we'll talk about later to that seed. But he plants the seed and he goes away and waits for the harvest. You know, the apple tree is interesting. Apple trees, you can plant the seed. The time from a seed, not to the tree, but to the actual first apple, if you tend it well, it's 7 years. From seed to an apple, it's 7 years. That's a long time to wait. My wife and I were thinking about growing an apple tree, and we went, are we going to be in this house for 7 years? I would be planting so other people would enjoy. Well. So so here's the thing. And this is the thing. I mean, you've heard preachers talk about this before, and I'm just going to go ahead and ride the coattails of all of those preachers who have said it before. We live in a very impatient world. We're, bless God, we're in the United States of America. I don't wait for anything, right? How many of y'all remember encyclopedias? Encyclopedia, we have the Encyclopedia Britannica. Usually it happens something like this. Some guy came down the street with an Encyclopedia Britannica, and you spent like $1,000, and you got 28 volumes of the encyclopedia. We got Google now. And let me just tell you, Google's better. I would rather have Google than all those encyclopedias. Wow, I didn't get a lot of amens in there. You know what? Honestly, Google is one of the quickest way to look up Bible verses. Just embrace it. It's okay. Is there crazy things about Google? Amen. All God's people said. Are there good things? You know, good and bad can coexist at the same time. Encyclopedias, right? There was a day where if you made popcorn, you went to the cupboard, you got your pan, your round pan, put a little oil in the bottom of it, took some corn, put it in there, right? And everybody, you know, over a certain age knows how much of those kernels to put before it just would blow the top off of the, and you would shake it forever until that first kernel popped. And then you really started shaking it because you didn't want them to burn, right? Right? And then there was Jiffy Pop. How many of y'all remember Jiffy Pop? If you want some fun at your house and you have young kids, go get some Jiffy Pop. Always a win. Always a win. Right? It was the thing that blew up all the foil. Remember that? It still took a while. Microwave popcorn. 2.5 minutes, done. Amen? I'll grab it when it's hot. It burns my hands. I don't care. I'm eating it. Quick. 2.5 minutes, done. How about the simple idea of cars and planes? It's amazing. It's amazing. Used to, like, remember the Oregon Trail, that game? Like, people, like, understand, like, now, people don't die of dysentery when they go across the country. They just hop on Dennis's plane, right? Trust that Dennis knows what he's doing. That, faith. And complain all the way across because of the little bitty peanuts they give you. Nobody's dying of dysentery on an airplane. It's fast. It happens, right? And we're always trying to do it faster. How about this? The news services. I don't need a pony and a guy on a pony to come give me the news. Anytime you want. You can find the news of any place on the earth. It's amazing, whether you want to or not. Actually, many of us, our phones just tell us the news when we open it up, whether you want it or not. Immediate. How about this? Amazon. Man, it's great, isn't it? It's great. I literally ordered something the other day, and I ordered it like at 11 o'clock in the morning. It was there the same day. It was amazing. That is what I'm talking about. That is service. Amen? I love it. I love it. I don't have to wait. Remember the I'm going to sound really old. The olden days where you say, please allow 6 to 8 weeks for delivery. That doesn't happen anymore. If you order, if you looked up something on Amazon and it said 6 to 8 weeks for delivery, you would go, what? Next. I ain't waiting no 6 to 8 weeks. I want it now. I want it now. I got time for time. You know, God does not think the way we think. God doesn't operate on our terms. So I want to go through three different stories of three different people really quick. And I want to talk about the subject of seed, time, and harvest. The first person I want to look at is the, make sure I get it in order, is David, King David. King David was anointed to be king about the age, is kind of debated, between 10 and 15 years old. Little boy, you know, actually forgotten about. Jesse and his boys, his big, strong, you know, tough-looking boys, and poor David's out in the field somewhere, and they said, Samuel's like, do you have any more kids? Like, yeah, none of these are him. And Jesse says, oh, yeah. How would you like to be the oh, yeah kid? Right? The oh, yeah kid. Oh, yeah, I got this kid. I forgot about him. Like, literally. That's crazy. I got this kid. He's just a little shepherd, little ruddy complexion. Maybe I'll just bring him in here anyway. Last resort. Samuel anoints him to be king. So David immediately goes to the throne. No. I want us this morning to think about David in maybe a different light. So you were promised this position. You were promised that this is your lot, right? The Bible teaches that he didn't become king until he was 30 years old. And much of that time, he's running from the jealous king. Because David was just being David and started gaining favor with the people around him because he was just being who David was. And so Saul gets jealous, and there's many opportunities for Saul to kill David. But then there's also opportunities for David to take things in his own hands, like many of us do, and take out Saul, because the moment he takes Saul out, he'll be king. Now think about that temptation. Here's an evil king, and you're the anointed one to take over his job. And you're the righteous one. You know in your heart that you're going to honor God when you take that throne. You're going to set some things right. And David doesn't take it on his own. David waits year after year after year King Saul finally does die, and David takes control. And then in a crazy set of circumstances, the first thing he does is rip his clothes and weeps and mourns for the death of Saul. See, such an integrity. And he waited until God did it. He waited until God did it. He waited. About 15 to 20 years waited, knowing that he was the guy. Then we look at the story of Joseph. Joseph was about 17 years old, was 17 years old. Actually, the Bible is really specific about these ages. Joseph was 17 years old when he had the dream. He has this dream of the sun and the moon and all the stars bowing down to him, right? Because he was going to be the ruler over them. And those had to do with his parents and all of his brothers. And then they had the wheat, same kind of thing. Wheat would bow down, all those things with his parents and his somehow that they're going to bow down to him. Well, being a 17-year-old kid, he goes, guys, you got to hear this new dream I got. This is awesome. I'm going to be amazing. And you, all of you guys, are going to bow down to me. That's amazing. That's like Owen, like your brothers. You don't have like all those brothers. You got like your two older brothers, you guys are going to bow down to me, man. And your brothers, whatever. Right? So they throw up, your brothers wouldn't do this, throws them into slavery, right? And spends times of being promoted and shot down. Promoted and forgotten about. To the tune of about 20 years. 20 years. Where this is going to be it. The cupbearer. They're going to remember me. Remember me because I did your dream. And remember me, and they've forgotten about. Oh, he's being promoted. Promoted. In Potiphar's house. Promoted. Promoted? I'm getting there. I can, like, in his own mind, he can say, oh, I can see how God's going to do this. Yeah, I'm getting promoted, promoted, promoted. Falsely accused. Prison. Forgotten about. In prison. Like, See, these are just stories until you personalize them with your own life. And you go, I thought this was going to be it. I thought this was going to be the answer. This was the answer to all the prayers. This was, here we go. This is how it's going to happen. And then all of a sudden, disappointment. But the integrity of Joseph decided, remember I said favor doesn't come by accident? Something happened that Joseph did in that prison to gain the favor of the prison guards. It didn't happen because he was moping and crying, wondering why me, well, poor, pitiful me. It happened because most likely Joseph got busy being a ruler and a king where he was in the prison. Because you don't magically become a great leader when you get the position. You become a good leader when you're serving. And you're doing things and you're sowing other things, right? And then, when he's 30 years old, he becomes second in command of all of Egypt in a crazy set of circumstances. And then he's 39 when his family comes and the prophecy is fulfilled. The dream is fulfilled. So then the third person is Abraham. Abraham, it took 25 years as an old man for that word from the Lord to come to pass. He said, I will make you a great nation. Actually, he never saw that. What he saw was the birth of a child. But he waited for 25 years, growing older and older, wondering and wondering. They waited so long that actually, They work up a plan to say, hey, God's not really moving. God, we got this. Don't worry about it. We got this. Sarah, go get pregnant by some other guy. I'm sure God will bless it. Right? Trying to do it on his own. But then the promise came. Because they waited. They waited. Did they doubt along the way? Absolutely. But something in Abraham and Sarah had faith that rose within them. That they believed something's happening in here. That even though I don't see it, something's happening. Joseph said, even though I don't see it, everything looks like it's nothing. There is nothing. I see no sprouts. I don't see anything coming up out of the ground. Joseph would say that something is happening. God's got a plan. I trust in the promise more than what I see. Because something is happening in that ground. And I can't see it. The faith of a farmer. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 4. It says, from ancient times, no one has heard, no one has listened to, no eye has seen any God except you, who acts on behalf of the one who waits for him. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Let us not get tired of doing good, for we will reap it at the proper time if we don't give up. We're all tempted. We're all tempted at times to give up. We're all tempted at times to give up and say, I guess God's just not going to do it. Scripture has a promise for us. James chapter 1 and verse 2 says, consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Look, I can't tell the stories of the people I know that the promise was so obvious, that the work that they, quote unquote, needed to do during that time, if they would just continued in it, if they would just continued in those things that they knew that they were supposed to do, just their part. And I watched time after time, too many times, where people just go, they give up. They just quit. I guess that prayer is never going to be answered. I guess that's it's just not going to happen for me. It happens for other people. It happens for people like Jessica and, you know, Rex and people that, you know, they didn't happen for people like me. Right? And they give up. It reminds me of where's my football fans? You'll know this when I mention this. It reminds me of the guy who's running for the touchdown, right? And he's like right at the goal and he just throws the ball down before he crosses the line, right? Like in a moment of, right? Just like, hey, I'm already over. No, you're not. Like I've seen way too many times, and I would quote this scripture. It says, listen, let endurance have its full effect. That means there's purpose in the waiting. That you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. We're encouraged that when we wait on God to fulfill His promises, there are some things that God wants to produce in you while you wait. I can assure you this morning that you have prayed and you're trusting God that something's happening in this soil. That God is moving on this soil. Things that you don't even know how, what, where, or how He's going to do it. Right? But if you want me to just roll my eyes at you, I'll just be honest. Like, tell me, well, God's going to do this before this date. Put a date on God who lives outside of time, mind you. Right? God's going to do it, but He's going to do it on the 5th of June, next Sunday, blah, 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 is going to happen. And then it doesn't happen, and you, what? You know, I've seen it too many times. I've been around this block. I've been a charismatic, word of faith guy way too long. I've just seen it. God, who knows that this endurance that you're experiencing, this waiting, when that thing comes to pass and you see the answer that you waited for, that you prayed for, and it's the fullness of everything, even greater than what you could imagine, you go, man, God is good. Yeah. You know what God says? Wait till you see the next one. Because now you've endured and your faith has grown, and now you're okay about waiting because you've seen what happens when you wait for the goodness of God.
Yes, yes.
Because your faith grew. Yes. Your testing of your faith, and it produces endurance. Mm-hmm. And let that endurance have its perfect work so you'll be complete and lacking nothing. But we want it Amazon time. We want it 2.5 minute popcorn time. Who knows that God is building your faith for the next bigger thing? Scripture talks about that you can't run. If you can't run with the footmen now, how can you run with the horses? God wants you to run with horses. God is working through the waiting. He's working through the waiting. And many times it's taken so long for you to get in your mess. It's going to take a minute for to work it all out. Amen. So there's seed, there's time, and then there's harvest. There's the time where God answers and comes through, right? So seed, time, harvest. So I'm going to take about 5 minutes because next week I'm going to talk about something else and I wanted to get this down. So what do you do during that time? This is not in my notes, but I want to teach it. What do you do during that time? The farmer doesn't just plant it and walk away. Many times he puts fertilizer on it. Or he prepares the ground beforehand. That's a whole nother message. Because not every ground produces fruit. But he waters it. Right? He makes sure that there's, you know, it's getting adequate sun. He's taking care of it. He's keeping all the other animals away from it, right? Because he's waiting. Because maybe he's seen the sprout pop up and he knows, all right, there's some animals around here that want to start eating on my plants. Like the deer started eating my wife's flowers at the house. How many of y'all have deer that eat? Anyway. But so God wants to protect it, right? So what do you do? How do you water that seed? Several different ways. One way is with your mouth. With your mouth. Power of life and death is in the tongue, right? So God, what's my confession of my mouth? My mouth and what I think is God's at work with that seed to produce a harvest. If it's healing, God is at work in my body, affecting a healing and a cure in my body. God is working in my children through their heart because God, I thank you, God, that you hold the hearts of the kings in the palm of your hand and you mold it whatever way you will. And God, I thank you, God, I can't see it, but God, you're working on their lives. I keep, Kenneth Hagin would say, you keep the switch of faith turned on. And the number one way you do it is with your mouth. And when all of the other things that would come against you and what you see comes against you, we look back at Philippians that says, whatsoever things are true, just, noble, of good report, pure, lovely, think on these things. Don't let your mind just wander. You can control your mind of fear. You can control your mind that says, no, it's not working. It's not working. It's not working. It's not working. You keep the switch of faith turned on. When doubt tries to creep in, no. Man, I wish that some of us would adopt my finger wag. It's one of my most powerful weapons against the enemy. No. Not to me, you don't. Those are lies. Nope. I reject those lies. It may take a minute, but I will. Because I get hit, you get bombarded with all that stuff, right? Nope. Not to me, you don't, devil. Not to these ears, you don't, devil. My mind is renewed by the word of God. I think what God thinks. Whatever God tells me to do, I can do it. Some of you, I'm just reminded, some of you in that moment where Eric was leading worship and he goes, just ask the Lord. He said it really fast. I hope some of us caught it. He says, what is God saying about you? God spoke to me some things that he was saying about me. Now, what am I going to do with those words? Am I just going to go, God, I hope that happens. Is it happening yet? No, God spoke to me. It's happening. It's changing me on the inside. Amen. It's changing situations. Amen? So listen, we are people, the just shall live by faith. I want to encourage you this morning that just because you don't see it doesn't mean God's not working.
Right.
Have the faith of a farmer. Mm-hmm. That God is working. I don't see it. I know there's science that's involved with this planting seeds. I don't really understand it. Honestly, don't really even care to understand it. I just want to plant the seeds and watch them grow. So I know to water it. I know it probably needs some fertilizer. I know it needs to be kept away from other things that try to grab hold of it. But you know what? We're going to protect it. Amen. We're going to water it with our mouth. That's weird. We're going to water it with our mouth. And we're going to water it with actions. So the next thing that you do while you're waiting is ask this question. God, what is my responsibility? The woman with the issue of blood spent all that she had, but was nothing better, but rather grew worse, scripture says. But when she heard of Jesus, she pressed in to the crowd behind him. And when he touched it, she said in her heart, if I can only touch his garment, then I'll be made well. You know what? We criticize her because she spent all that she had, but was nothing better, but rather grew worse. You know what that part tells me about this woman? She's a fighter.
Yeah.
That woman was a fighter.
Right.
Tough as nails.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to spend all that you have.
Yeah.
Some of us, you won't even go to the doctor and pay your whatever your copay is.
Right.
To go get a checkup. This woman spent all that she had. This woman was drunk. I'm getting better. I am getting better. Who? Jesus? It's on. I know it's going to cause some issues. I know it's going to ruffle some people's feathers. But I'm going to move out of my way. Move. Nope. Move out of my way. Jesus. Oh, man. That woman with the issue, a hero of faith, tenacity, strength. So what is your part? What is your job? Oh, to show love to someone who's mad at you. That's what God requires of you. Then do it. Maybe it's, I want a promotion in my job. I'm believing for a promotion. And God speaks to you and says, you're never on time to your job. Why don't you start being on time at your job? Or why don't you actually start doing what your boss asked you to do? Shocking. Right? What is your part of this? It's amazing. The Bible talks about that we are co-laborers with him. We're co-laborers with him. That means God has his miracle part, and I have my watering part. My seed, that water that I'm putting on it. My fertilizer that I'm putting on it, right? My protection that I'm putting around it. It's my job. So I'm going to believe him, and I'm going to do whatever he asked me to do in that circumstance, in that situation. Amen? It's faith. It's not just believing and doing nothing. It's the low-hanging fruit preach, but it's the, I want a job, and I'm just going to sit here and wait for a job to plop in my lap, right? That's not the way God works. But there's a harvest. There's a harvest. There's a harvest. Everybody says there's a harvest. For every, as long as the earth remains, there'll be seed time harvest. Just as there's summer and winter. Some of you are like, okay, I'm done with the summer already. So hot. But I promise you, there'll be winter. Promise you. Can't predict. I'm not a prophet, nor a son of a prophet. But you know what? There's winter coming. Thus saith the Lord. Genesis chapter 8, there's summer, there's winter coming. I'll even go outside of scripture. There's fall. Fall's coming. It's Georgia, so it'll be about this long, but there's fall coming. Better get your apples quick. But just like those things that you can predict and say that's coming, winter's coming, there's seed time and harvest. And when you pray and you don't give up, and you'll be complete and lacking in nothing. And you'll get not just a portion or a thought of what could be, you'll get exactly what God wants you to have. Listen, I've lived this too long. I'm 50, almost 53 years old. I've been living for God flat out for 32 years. And what I've learned along those 32 years is God's plan is completely different than my plan. And I quit the days of trying to figure out how God was going to do it. But I've trusted him. Because, last thing, I have knowledge of God's word, what his will is. When I know his will, I also know that he's faithful to accomplish his will. I don't just know his promises. I know him. I've lived long enough to know that I can trust him. And it won't happen in my time, but I know I can trust him. Amen? I can know God's will, and I know God's promises. And I can know that he will do his faithfulness. Amen? Let's all stand up together. Aren't you grateful for this band? They're so good. Man, we almost had church up in here a minute ago. My son was walking that bass, man. He was, whew. So those prayers that you put on that wall, what'd you do? No, but... Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Those prayers that you put on that wall, those are seeds. Time. Harvest. Ask. Believe. Receive. What are you believing for? What are you going to receive? That God's working. I may not necessarily be receiving right now the actual manifestation of that answer. You know what I'm believing? God's working. God's working on their hearts. God's bringing laborers across those wayward people's life. God's bringing people that I can't, even though I can't speak into their life anymore, there's God's bringing other people across their path to share the word of God with them. That you're believing God to get out of debt. God is moving, providing, adding abundance towards your life. Amen? You have your part, and God has his supernatural part that he's working. Amen? And you're going to step back, and you're going to go, I know I did a little bit, but God did all the heavy lifting. I'm so grateful to God. He did all the heavy lifting. Listen, this band that you see up here, and it's the result of prayer and believing and trusting, right? And you're not going to just wait. We have somebody new coming actually next week. And I'm so excited that God is moving and doing things. Amen? It's happening. God is moving. And he is working. And I don't even have to see it. I'll see it when the plant starts growing. Build my faith. You're believing God for that raise or whatever, that extra, right? And you sowed some seeds, and all of a sudden you saw, somebody gave me $50. That's not all of it, but it's something. I see something growing. Amen? God is moving. Say, God's moving. In Jesus' name. This week, there's some cards on the table. And this morning, we want to single in on the subject and the topic of healing. There's many people in this room, you need a touch of God of healing in your life. The Bible says one of the seeds that you sow is you come down and allow the elders of the church, the leaders of the church, to come and pray over you. And the power of God, the Bible says, they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. yeah, we see instant healings. But the majority of the healings that I've seen with my eyes, there's been four. Right off, boom. I saw ears open. I saw this girl. And actually, one of them was 3 days later. She was deaf, dumb. She couldn't speak. And she woke up. Actually, we left a mission trip in South Africa. And when we came back, we heard word that this girl, that my old pastor and I, we prayed for her. And we watched. And the next morning after we left, she came. She woke up hearing and speaking. And actually, it caused revival through that whole place because everybody knew that girl. So yeah, God does that. But he also causes you to recover. Where God's power goes into your body. And your confession of your faith is God's power is at work in my body, affecting a healing and a cure. In Jesus' name. If it's a mental thing, mental anguish, God, I thank you, God. God, I have the mind of Christ. I refuse doubt. I refuse worry and fear and anxiety. In Jesus' name. God, I thank you, God, that you're rewiring my thinking towards your thoughts. God, that you are doing it by the power of the Holy Spirit in me. There's healing available for us all. Amen. So as they sing this song, a couple of things. You can do a couple of things. You can come down here and we'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. We'll have some other people to maybe pray for you. But we'll also, you can write down on that card and put that healing request on that board. And this Wednesday, we're going to pray for you. We're gonna pray. You never know. You might just get healed right here this morning. Instant. Amen? But don't go away from here saying, I didn't get anything. Because you obeyed the word of God and said, come down and have somebody pray for me and that I'll recover. Amen. Amen. You got something when you came down. Amen. Amen. So if you need prayer, they're going to lead us in a worship song. And if you need prayer, I'll be standing right here. If you come up here, I'll be glad to pray for you. And if there's other people come up, we'll have other people pray for you. Amen. And let's worship God for a minute.